540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Cammy McCormick. President Biden's son Hunter has reached a deal with federal prosecutors on charges he failed to pay federal income tax and illegally possessed a weapon. He'll plead guilty to tax offenses and likely avoid time behind bars. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
If Hunter Biden abides by the terms of this plea agreement, then the felony charge or the gun charge would in effect be wiped clean or dismissed.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. Republicans immediately reacted to the news by blasting what they see as a sweetheart deal. Mr. Biden's aides have insisted he respects the independence of the Justice Department and has not been involved in its decision-making. The U.S. attorney who's overseen the Hunter Biden investigation was originally appointed by former President Trump and has stayed on through the Biden administration.
President Biden and the First Lady say they support their son as he rebuilds his life and will have no further comment. It's a race to save five people in a submersible in the North Atlantic. The five are traveling to the wreckage of the Titanic when communication was lost Sunday. Titanic expert Tim Matlin says conditions will make it very tough to recover them.
Titanic's wreck is 2.5 miles down. It's pitch black down there. It's freezing cold. The seabed is mud and it's undulating. You can't see your hand in front of your face. The only way you can find where you are is by a thing called sonar. Not even radar works.
The submersible was carrying three fee-paying passengers, including a billionaire British explorer, and it was only 4 days of emergency oxygen on board. Tornadoes in Mississippi, extreme heat in Texas, and power outages in Arkansas, among other places, after storms roared through. Matt Ramsey is with Entergy in Russellville, Arkansas.
We're in the hardest hit area. There's about a stretch of the road here that had about 10 power poles that were broken.
Ukraine's counteroffensive continues against the Russian invasion, and it's proving as difficult as many feared. CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker has the latest.
The Russian Defense Ministry says its forces destroyed 8 ammunition warehouses across Ukraine and repelled Ukrainian attacks in 3 different areas in the past 24 hours. As for that Ukrainian counteroffensive, President Zelensky has said the military's advancing in some areas, holding positions against Russian attacks in others.
We're feeling less charitable these days, as Jim Krasula reports.
Charitable giving in the U.S. dropped in 2022, only the third time in 40 years that donations did not increase year over year. According to the Giving USA report released today, total giving fell more than 3% last year to $500 billion.
This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he's fed up with gun violence in his city after yesterday's mass shooting where a Juneteenth celebration had just ended.
All of us have work to do, every single one of us, in the elected official capacity, in the law enforcement capacity, in violence prevention, in education, in so many other places. But we need the community to speak up and to be engaged in our efforts to make this a safer city for everybody as well.
6 teenagers are wounded, including a 17-year-old suspect. Stuart J. Wattles has the latest.
The 17-year-old shooter in yesterday's Juneteenth violence was also shot himself, and police think there was probably 2 gunmen. Milwaukee's police chief put out a plea after 6 people under the age of 19 were rushed to the hospital yesterday.
Milwaukee, what's going on with our children? Parents, guardians, elders. We need to engage and ensure that this violence that our children are bringing to these streets cease.
Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman said the incident started with a fight between 2 teenage girls. We're waiting for updates on the victims. All are expected to survive. Stuart J. Wattles, Civic Media News.
An historic change to the way the state of Wisconsin shares tax money with local communities is now official. Governor Evers signed the bipartisan shared revenue bill into law this morning in Wausau. It takes 20% of state sales tax collections and sends that money to local governments. Most will get at least a 20% increase in state aid, but some places will get increases in the triple digits. Governor Evers says local communities have struggled for too long.
Much of the hard work that happens in our state happens at the local level, whether it's expanding affordable housing, repairing streets, ensuring clean parks and water, providing essential services like EMS, police, and fire, or supporting local libraries and public health.
State Senator LaTanya Johnson says the shared revenue boost saves Milwaukee and Milwaukee County from bankruptcy.
For the individuals in the city of Milwaukee who are on the verge of insolvency, this means an opportunity to start over.
But some Milwaukee leaders are unhappy with the changes. Channel 58 reports that members of the city council plan to hire lawyers to sue the state over restrictions that affect Milwaukee in particular, like a ban on state money for diversity efforts. The bill also increases aid to public education, but educators in rural Wisconsin say they're still concerned about how the shared revenue deal will impact small-town schools. Mike Moan reports.
The agreement boosts overall public education spending by $1 billion, and there's nearly $300 million for the state's school choice plan, which provides money to low-income students to attend private schools. Jeff Idy of the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance feels public schools weren't given enough support to keep up with challenges.
The challenges we're really facing is really bottom-line resources and funding for the rural schools.
In a recent survey from the Alliance found more than 70% of rural schools were short at least one educator. Teacher unions also are voicing concerns, saying more of the surplus should go to public schools. But the Wisconsin Coalition for Education Freedom says the move makes the state a leader in empowering parents. I'm Mike Moen.
An assembly committee is holding a hearing on bills today covering live streaming election night ballot counts, threats and attacks on poll workers, and closing polling places. Governor Evers says he'll veto bills that make it harder to vote. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News Time is 12:07.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. One of the six people shot yesterday after Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration was hit in the neck. Again, all those victims are expected to survive, and the believed shooter, a 17-year-old, was also injured. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson had plenty to say after yesterday's shooting.
I want for folks to know that Juneteenth was a safe event. Look, one person pulled out a gun and caused problems today.
Police are looking through tape trying to identify a possible second shooter. With Waukesha, Racine, Kenosha, and other communities around the state, the shared revenue plan signed today by Governor Tony Evers is fairly simple. In the city and county of Milwaukee, there are strings attached, and a Milwaukee Teachers Union representative isn't happy that Evers was on board with the effort to send more money to non-public schools.
We could have got the same stuff from Scott Walker. That is, he's following suit exactly what Scott Walker's agenda was.
Union Representative Adrian Hicks talked to TMJ4 yesterday during the Juneteenth parade. The shared revenue plan was signed this morning in Wausau. Two elementary schools within the Racine Unified School District will be shutting down as Jefferson Lighthouse Elementary and West Ridge Elementary are set to close by the conclusion of the next school year. The impacted students from both schools will transition to the renovated Starbuck K-8. The major tech company coming to Mount Pleasant has made plans for this week. Melissa Kay has more.
Microsoft wants to let Racine County residents know what's coming. The company is hosting what it calls an information session Thursday at Gateway IMET Center campus. The session aims to provide details about Microsoft's purchase of 315 acres of Mount Pleasant land and its $1 billion data center plans.
And gas today is about a dime more expensive in Kenosha than it is in Milwaukee and Waukesha. The price in Kenosha is about $3.77 a gallon. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The heat is on and for an extended period of time. Those AC units are about to clock some long hours ahead. Today, the sunshine is abundant as it heats us up into the mid to upper 80s. Some local spots may spike a 90-degree high temperature, too. So if you're in search for a cooler place in Wisconsin, head to the Lake Michigan shores, where the free AC will be turned on. These areas will stay comfortable into the upper 70s from a lake breeze, plus you can hop into the water to cool off too. Remember to stay hydrated and to take frequent breaks if you work outside today and for the rest of this week. Tonight, we only drop down to the low to mid 60s under clear skies, And tomorrow, the heat might hurt as we climb a few degrees hotter than we get today, which, to be fair, it is in sync with the summer solstice, as it marks the first official day of the summer season. Have a terrific Tuesday and stay cool, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers get blasted in the first. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night, the Brewers opened up their series at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks with one of the worst performances in a single inning by starting pitcher Corbin Burnes. Top of the first in front of 24,000 at MFAM Field on Bally Sports.
Welcome back, Alec Thomas. Fly ball to right field, and there it goes. Alec Thomas, one swing back from AAA, and it's 6-0 Diamondbacks against Corbin Burnes in the first.
6-0, and Arizona never looked back. The final, the Diamondbacks 9, the Brewers 1. Diamondbacks manager Torrey Lovello told his players, swing at Corbin Burnes' first pitch.
I know that he's putting the ball on the plate, and that's usually his MO. He's going to, it's power stuff, and I think our guys are ready to counterpunch that a little bit today just by being aggressive and getting some extension on some balls they felt like they could handle. So it worked out well. You know, I think the pitch count wasn't over 20. It just happened very quickly, and without giving away a strategy, I think it's fairly obvious our guys were ready to hit first pitch on.
In a quiet Brewers clubhouse, Burnes admitted his cutter wasn't cutting it. I asked Burnes, was he surprised they were all swinging at his first pitch?
No, I mean, they were like that the last time we played them. They came out, they swing the bats, just didn't execute early in that first inning. Two pitches in, we had second and third, whoever it was, with nobody, and you know, really the first three hitters kind of changed that game for me. Obviously, his first three of the game, but two non-executed cutters, and then the walk, and then they were rolling.
Craig Counsell.
Their approach was, you know, starting out the game was good. They got two pitches in the middle plate, and then they hit them hard. And, you know, credit to them for that.
So the Brewers fall into second place in the NL Central, a half game behind Cincinnati. The Reds have won 9 in a row and moved into first place after beating the Rockies 5-4. College football, the Badgers pick up a defensive back, Jay Harper from Alabama, has committed to Wisconsin. The NBA draft is coming up Thursday night. San Antonio has the first overall pick. The Bucks don't pick until the end of the second round. Former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer's Lake Okeechee home is for sale. Price tag $7 million. And finally, Chris Paul says he was on a plane to New York to appear on Good Morning America with Michael Strahan when he found out in a text from his 14-year-old son that the Phoenix Suns had just traded him to the Washington Wizards.
And I see this blockbuster deal between you and Bradley Beal that may take you from Phoenix to Washington and vice versa. I was surprised. What are your first thoughts on that?
I was surprised too. I found out on the plane yesterday flying here for this. You know, in this league, anything can happen, so you just figure out what's next.
You literally found out on the plane.
Absolutely.
Wow.
What was your first reaction?
Don't push him any further. He's trying to be nice about it.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What's happening?
That's NBA All-Star Chris Paul. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Wesley is a truck driver.
I drive a truck, and I love what I do.
A truck driver with IRS troubles.
They told me I owed them $43,000.
It got really bad.
Quite a few letters in the mail. They were talking about wage garnishment, coming after my house, my car. Yeah, they don't play around. I seriously thought that I was going to lose everything.
One sleepless night, Wesley finally made a call to Optima Tax Relief at 2 a.m.
Kind of figured I'd get a machine, but I didn't. I actually got to talk to an actual person in the middle of the night.
He found just what he was looking for.
Oh, they were great people. You need a team of people that know what they're doing. Optima Tax. They know what they're doing.
Optima Tax Relief came through with flying colors.
I saved an incredible amount of money. Happy don't even come close. I was absolutely overjoyed.
Take Wesley's advice.
If you're in any kind of trouble with the IRS, call Optima Tax Relief. Don't trust anybody else.
Call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes! That's awesome!
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 82. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 61. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. Low 80s Thursday and Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome one, welcome all. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to hometown radio. I am not William Walter, I am Luke Mathers. Will is lost in the desert right now. Just kidding, he's at a conference. I hope he's not lost. And he'll be back with us in a couple of days. But I'm joined with Aaron on the board. Aaron, how are we doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
Doing well, nice and fresh. Just took a break and ate something. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. It's a busy Tuesday here at Civic Media. Thrilled to be on the airwaves. And we're going to be joined for this edition of Town Call by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. He's just getting recombobulated himself, getting situated with where the studios are. So he's going to be joining us. And we're going to be talking about childcare and what it means to you. And if you have a story on childcare, we want to hear it. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Childcare at the center of a lot of people's conversations here in Wisconsin right now, because last Friday, in the middle of the night, overnight, from Thursday into Friday, the Joint Finance Committee voted not to include the Child Care Counts program in the upcoming biennial budget. 2:30 in the morning. A lot of confidence behind those votes when you take them at that hour. Middle of the night decision not to fund the $340 million program. Meanwhile, the state has a near $7 billion surplus. So roughly a program that would be about 5%. Not doing the math on the radio, but roughly 5% of the state's current budget surplus to fund this program over the next 2 years and invest in child care providers around the state of Wisconsin. Now, this isn't just a Madison thing or a Milwaukee thing. This is a Wisconsin problem. This is a problem that childcare facilities around the state of Wisconsin have. If you've got a story, if you are going to lose your childcare because the provider that you rely on to be able to go to work, to watch your kid while you are gone at work, if you are a part of the childcare sector and you provide that child care, and your facility may have to close down because this lack of investment from state lawmakers. We want to hear your stories. 844-967-2789. A rally held earlier today at the Wisconsin Capitol calling on lawmakers to return that $340 million investment into the state's biennial budget. Number of state lawmakers spoke at the event. Number of community leaders, business owners, childcare providers sharing their stories. We want to hear your stories. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call on Civic Media. If you've got thoughts to share on childcare, we want to hear them. Call or text 844-967-2789. Up first this Tuesday afternoon, we got Gary in Sussex calling in. Gary, what's on your mind today? What do you think about childcare?
Well, my wife, she graduated from Cardinal Scritch College with a degree in the child care for the under like five, before kindergarten. Okay, she worked in a child care environment, and there were like two gals, and there were 50 kids. Okay, which was like my wife come home and she'd be so stressed out. So she ended up quitting there and then doing child care through the state at home and had anything between like two and three kids at a time. Now, in my opinion, is this. The people that she did it for 40 years,
And she had hundreds of kids, you know, in that period of time. Most of them were teachers' kids because she wanted her summers off. But I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, and I know you're going to disagree because people have bills, kids should stay home with their parents. They shouldn't be raised by my wife. And my wife loved these kids, and they absolutely loved her. When these kids would get picked up at the end of the day, they'd be screaming and hollering because they wanted to stay with Bethy, you know, because her name is Beth. They call her Bethy. But I think that people should live a little bit lower than having these fancy houses and fancy cars, and these moms or dads stay home, one of them, and raise their own kids. Because I've seen it, and I'm telling you, these, you know, I don't think it's right.
And so, Gary, your wife was a child care provider, and you believe that child care providers should not be a profession. Am I understanding that correctly?
No.
You believe that individuals with young children should stay home with their children instead of having somebody else watch them throughout the day. That's what the scenario you just described to me. And I just want to get it correct, Gary.
Yeah. No, you got it right, because there's grandmas, there's brothers and sisters. And I understand if you're a single mom and you have no other way to get your kids, you know, you have to. But there's way too many people that live in these really fancy houses because this is what they want, but they pawn their kids off to my wife. And my wife loved these kids. She did it for 40 years. She hated doing it.
Gary, I see a disconnect from the story that you're telling me in reality, though. Because you're telling me that your wife, she liked to watch the children of teachers so that they could that she could have the summer off, because then those kids would be home with the educators that also had the summer off. And exactly. So I don't think there's that many teachers, Gary, that are living in these lofty homes that are the ones sending off their kids then to child care providers. There are the working class of Wisconsin needs to, and this was a topic discussed at the rally today, for working to save child care counts, this program that was not included in the upcoming biennial budget by our lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee. The rally calling on state lawmakers to make an amendment and include it when the budget talks come to the full floor of both the State Assembly and State Senate. And something that was talked about, Gary, was the fact that parents have an obligation to provide for their families, their children, by going to work, earning an income, going and contributing to the Wisconsin economy, and providing care for their children. Those are the dilemmas that Wisconsinites are facing, and you're telling me, well, don't provide. Stay home. Have somebody else stay home. And I'm just confused, Gary, at how those two can go back and forth.
Look, I'm just telling you how I see it and how my wife sees it. She sees these kids that she gets them when they're like 6-7 weeks old, and she keeps them until they're like ready to go to preschool. Okay, these kids should be at home with their own parents. These parents should live a little bit lower on the scale, have a little bit less nice house and a little bit crummier car, and stay home and raise their kids until they're ready to go to the school.
Do you support expanding paid leave in Wisconsin, Gary?
I'm sorry, I'm in my truck. What did you say?
No worries. Do you support expanding paid leave for the individuals that don't have the ability to stay home with those newborns, with those children that are 7 weeks old? Do you support an expanded paid leave program so that employers can offer their employees that benefit?
It's nice. There's a lot of nice things I wish a lot of kids could have. And
we have a $7 billion surplus right now, Gary. Gary, there are policy decisions that are going to be included in this upcoming biennial budget, and we have the means. We have a $7 billion surplus. $340 million, I'm not an expert at math, I want to say it's roughly 5% of that budget surplus. Are you telling me that for a 5% of what we currently have in excess over the last budget, that we can't take that 5% and put it to a program that keeps child care facilities open here in Wisconsin?
I think that there are certain people that would deserve it, and I think that they have to have it to survive, and that would be single single mothers. I think if there's a two-parent family, I don't think they should. And I don't care what their income is. If there's two people, one of them could stay home, and you just live on your own means. You don't live above what you can afford. People nowadays are just irresponsible as can be.
Gary, we got a couple of other callers staying on the line. I would love to be able to get your thoughts as well, though, on the callers. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. No William Walter on this Tuesday afternoon. As I said, he's off in the desert. But we're also joined by Dan Schaefer in the studio. Dan, how are we doing? Are we recombobulated now?
Luke, hello. We have recombobulated. I'm at the studio. I am thrilled to be joining you in person.
Yes.
For once.
First time ever. It's not just the on Twitter or on over Zoom. It is in real life, in person.
Exist outside of my computer. That's true.
You are not just a virtual account that I interact with from time to time. It's great to see you. Glad that you could be here in studio. You also in attendance of the rally earlier today for the calls to save the child care counts program that was not included in the upcoming budget last Friday in the middle of the morning. Wee hours of Friday morning. You noted on Friday morning when a lot of other people were waking up to the news, which you're something you're known for. The good morning fellow parents tweets on the weekends.
Yes. Every Saturday morning.
I'm
on Saturday morning duty with my kids, and my kids will wake up early, and I often will tweet out, "Good morning, fellow parents."
At a far too early time, though.
Who else should be awake before 7 on a Saturday than other parents? But yeah, it was a not so good morning.
Yes.
On Friday morning when we got the news that Republicans not only were going to cut funding for the child care counts program, but we're going to erase it entirely. So not they were, you know, I had heard that they were maybe thinking of bringing that number down, something like that, but they got rid of it entirely, getting rid of that $340 million that has been stabilizing the child care counts, child care system in the state of Wisconsin. And I talked to providers at the rally today. They said it is very likely that 25% of all child care facilities will close without this funding. And one provider told me that we already have a system where there are hundreds of people on wait lists to get into child care facilities throughout the state of Wisconsin.
I have friends that are getting pregnant now. Like, they are finding out that they are pregnant, and they are immediately putting themselves on a wait list for child care because they know that it's going to take that long. It will take almost the full pregnancy for them to get through that wait list, and in some cases, they're still waiting beyond that.
And it's about to get much worse if we don't fund this program, because this program has really stabilized the system. It hasn't put it in a position to thrive. It's really stabilized it from throughout the pandemic. And even before the pandemic, it was not a system that was in great shape. It was something that really needed to be addressed before then. This kind of, you know, as a pandemic era program kind of stabilized the system, propped it up. But without it, providers are looking at huge rate increases for people who bring their kids there. Having to cut staff. They're looking at wage decreases in an industry where the average wage is already only $12.66 an hour with no benefits. That is up from $10.66 an hour from a couple of years ago from before the child care counts program was instituted. The ripple effect of this is really something you can't even really begin to calculate.
Yeah.
Because it's going to bring people out of the workforce. It's going to create a whole host of problems that we are not ready for.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, talking child care. We're going to return to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden's son, Hunter, has reached a deal with federal prosecutors on charges he failed to pay federal income tax and illegally possessed a weapon. The deal will likely see him avoid time behind bars. Republicans were quick to react, calling it a sweetheart deal, as Scott McFarland reports.
The Congressional House Oversight Committee has launched an ambitious investigation into Hunter Biden, and this will not stop or mute their investigation. They've been trying to paint a picture of a Justice Department that has been weaponized against Republicans.
It's a race against time to save five people on board a submersible near the wreckage of the Titanic. They have a limited amount of oxygen, and Titanic expert Tim Matlin says conditions are difficult.
It's really a bit like a moonshot. It's really a bit like being an astronaut going into space. So I do fear for the lives of those explorers who are on board.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammy McCormick.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. A blunt assessment of Milwaukee's post-Juneteenth celebration shooting yesterday was given by the city's mayor. Six people between the ages of 14 and 19 were injured after what started as a fight between two girls.
It is stupidity. Arguments should not lead to guns being fired off, period.
Mayor Cavalier Johnson spoke alongside the police chief in the announcement that a 17-year-old was arrested. Microsoft hasn't even broken ground in Racine County, but they are already pledging to help restore a local habitat. The company is partnering with the Root Pike Watershed Initiative to fund and support the restoration of a section of Lamparack Creek in Mount Pleasant. The lights are going out at two Racine Unified Elementary schools. Jefferson Lighthouse Elementary will close at the end of the 23-24 school year, along with West Ridge Elementary. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
You've got this new head filled up with smoke. I got my veins all tangled close. Jukebox bars you frequent, the safest place to hide.
Long night spent with. Welcome back to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to contribute to today's conversation, 844-967-2789. Joined in studio by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area. And you can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Talking child care, not included in the upcoming biennial budget, a pandemic-era program that, as you pointed out, Dan, really just helped keep the industry afloat. It wasn't like child care was flourishing all of a sudden, even though it was something that our essential workers, as the economy shut down, were relying on still. They are essential workers, child care workers, and a program that is, as some lawmakers put it at today's rally at the Wisconsin State Capitol, is the minimum. It is the baseline of what the state should be doing to fund a sector of the workforce that allows us to be able to invest everything else. If you can't have somebody watch your child, you can't go to work. And so there's a lot of cries of, oh, why aren't people working anymore? Why aren't people, no one wants to work these days, is something that we hear echoed a lot, Dan. And you'd think that if those were the sentiments, you would invest in a program that would allow families to continue going to work by having childcare accessible and affordable to the workers.
Yeah, we hear all the time from the business community and their allies in the Republican Party that, you know, we have this worker shortage, we have this labor shortage. Well, a big reason for that is because we do not have adequate childcare in this state. We do not have enough childcare. There, you know, most of the state lives in a childcare desert. And without this funding, many places will close. Rate increases will be significant. One of the providers told me that in rural areas, the rate increases for childcare without childcare counts funding will be somewhere in the range of 30% to 50%.
Wow.
And in Minnesota, a state that has a very similar population and demographics to the state of Wisconsin, they just passed more than $700 million in their budget for childcare. And right now we have zero. And so part of the reason that, you know, some of the pushback that I've gotten on this as, you know, somebody advocating for more childcare funding, saying, well, this is a pandemic era program, just like other pandemic era programs, this is going to wind down. Well, this is an industry that's in crisis before that.
Yeah.
And it's not like they've had a great time during the pandemic. You know, we've pushed so much onto our care economy throughout the pandemic, and it's not like they have exactly stabilized. So while Minnesota is putting $700 million into childcare, we're putting zero.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was talk from the Republicans in joint finance last week when they made this decision that there would be some sort of $15 million loan fund, $15 million versus $340 million.
Fraction.
And the providers I talked to today said that was insulting.
Yeah.
Like, $15 million is not going to do anything to stabilize this industry. And it's also, it's just speaks to the nature of childcare to begin with, because it's not exactly, it doesn't totally work as a purely for-profit enterprise.
Yeah.
Well,
if it did, the costs that would have to go into that for families, or the costs that are eaten, as we see in the current system, by the providers themselves taking those lower wages, not a sustainable model for an industry that is incredibly vital to the state's economy.
And unlike college education, you can't take out loans to pay for childcare.
Yeah.
You know,
for
an infant,
loan.
It's going to cost you $20,000 to pay childcare for a year for that infant. There's no financial aid or loans or anything like that. It's just you pay it or you leave your job and stay home with your kids.
Well, as Gary pointed out, that is what he recommends. Is from a point of view, our previous caller, Gary from Sussex, said, well, if you've got two people in the family, then stay home. That's what you should do. And if those are your thoughts, or if you've got different thoughts on childcare, we want to hear them here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. We're going to go to Shelly in Hagar City now. Shelly, what are your thoughts on the childcare counts program not being included in the upcoming two-year budget?
I am actually a family childcare provider. I am licensed and nationally accredited. I am just starting my 20th year in business. It was actually my dream. I built at 12 years old, I decided this is what I wanted to do. I literally built my house for this. So there's many different ways that childcare can look like. But for our area, it is a complete desert out there, like you mentioned. Although there's more daycares on the verge of closing here if we don't get any funding. It's been a few years now. Say too that the only center in our town actually closed because they couldn't keep staff hired and qualified, you know. And so the slots are disappearing more and more, and people are being forced to stay home, or the children have been forced to stay home alone, which that is not okay either. Yeah, I mean, I can personally say I had a family tour in May of this year that lives in a neighborhood town. They moved to Wisconsin a few years ago from Oregon, and they haven't been able to even tour a daycare prior to me. Couldn't even see the inside of their door because they were so far down on the waiting list. I didn't even have an official spot for them, just a possible day here and there, and they were thrilled with the idea that they maybe could have a couple hours of uninterrupted work, you know. And it's just, there's such a need and demand out there that the other caller, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it might work for some, you know, to have someone stay at home, but realistically, there's a shortage of workers out there as well. So I can say I was disheartened by the news for sure. Another incident I have is I have a family enrolled with one child in attendance here, and they take two other children 20-plus miles away since I only have room for one of theirs, although they wanted to get in as they need to get into the school district for the future. I mean, there's so many stories. I mean, I could go on and on, really. I mean, I have parents of children enrolled here that are doctors at local hospitals, hospital employees, accountants, factory workers, construction workers, and much more. And without me, they literally can't go to work. I mean, yeah, there's definitely, I mean, they definitely need to look at this and figure out a way to get funding to us in order to keep us opened. I mean,
Shelley, is that
a light? Yeah.
Is that a concern that you have with the discontinuation of the Child Care Counts program? Are there going to be tough decisions that you have to make now that the state program is not going to be renewed for this upcoming 2-year budget? Or what does the program mean for you?
Yes. For me, there is going to be tough decisions. I'm not saying I will be closing my doors. I hope not to. But with that, I will definitely have to be raising my rates. I have not done so in many years. New kids come in at a new rate, but the others have been grandfathered in, and I will no longer be able to grandfather that in because I technically would be losing money taking those children. And you can't go in the red very long. I mean, but it's like some of the parents can't necessarily afford more either. So it's definitely a push comes to shove on what straw you can bend and stuff like that too. So it is definitely going to be a hard one. And I definitely know there's a lot of family child care providers, unlicensed ones, unregulated, I mean, that are actually hurting as well. I mean, that they're on the edge of like just closing themselves. I mean, for just feeling like you're not important and not being heard nor seen. So
yeah, and I can imagine that as a child care provider, when a budget vote like that, the importance to your industry that this program means, for it to be taken at 2:30 in the morning on a Friday or Thursday night, early Friday morning, has got to contribute to that feeling of not being felt as seen as well.
Correct. Yeah, I honestly did not see that coming at all. I mean, I honestly felt that they had to have been hearing us. They had to, you know, understand, but it really felt like they just didn't hear us. I mean, they didn't listen. They, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't hear our ask and stuff like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the contribution today, Shelley. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. If you want to share your thoughts on childcare, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Joined in the studio by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, I believe stories like Shelley's are countless here in the state of Wisconsin. And as you pointed out, you thought, as somebody that keeps a very close eye on these budget negotiations, that there was going to be something for child care included in the budget. And it was pretty shocking when it was zero and not at least a number in between zero and $340 million.
Yeah, if you just kind of walk through the timeline of what has happened in this budget process, you know, they started the budget process by removing almost all of the Republicans in the budget committee started the budget process by removing almost everything that Tony Evers had proposed. One of the only things that they did not remove was the child care funding. So as, you know, they took out things like paid leave, they took out things for, you know, any variety of different, you know, programs that we've all gotten upset about perhaps over the last couple months, they kept the child care funding there. And so that gave a lot of people hope that as it, you know, reached the committees, the relevant committees that would be making the decisions here, that they would have some funding. Yeah. Maybe not even the full $340 million, which I think, you know, people that I talked to today at the rally said it is in itself probably not enough for the system. But to have that $340 million go to zero was a big surprise to people.
Yeah. Folks, we want to hear your thoughts on child care. 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Dan Schaefer. You're listening to Town Call. Let's head over to Steve in Waukesha. Steve, what are your thoughts on child care today?
Well, I'm looking at this a little differently. Do the people in the Assembly and in the Senate, do they have child care through the state?
I don't know what the state offers for child care off the top of my head, Steve.
See, well, that's so many things. These people vote on things that they get through their job, but they don't want anybody else to have it. They work for us. But they act like they're gods over us. And I see that totally wrong. It should be the same with pensions. They can work for a short period of time, leave, and have a pension, where most people today don't have a pension. So it all goes back to they worked for us, and we should remember that, and not just at the ballot box.
Yeah, that is an excellent point, Steve. It's not usually a stance of courage when you take a vote at 2:30 in the morning. I think that the time that this vote was taken is a very telling time. If you've got thoughts on child care, we want to hear them here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. Let's hear from Stephen in Green Bay, a couple of Stephens on this Tuesday afternoon. Stephen, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Luke. You know, this topic always, you know, leaves me dumbfounded when you guys talk about this or you guys talk about schools, because the Republicans will be the first one to say that foreign countries are ahead of us in education and we're falling behind, and then they're going to tell you that's the woke left agenda that's doing it to people. But then they do this stuff. When it's time for them to show up and actually vote on it and fund it, cricket. This stuff costs money to operate. There's electricity. There's things that go into operating a day-to-day building. And if you pull funding from our institutions like daycares and schools, of course, we're going to be falling behind in education because teachers can't properly educate our kids. It gets me so, it's like, you're going to complain about it and you're going to say it's the other people's fault. But then when you can actually do something about it, you choose not to. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call, Stephen. It is very telling. Again, when the same people that are not going to fund this program, I believe, were some of the first that said, well, nobody wants to work anymore. Your thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, I think it's so frustrating that we hear over and over again about this worker shortage, this labor shortage. And I think people are really underestimating the ripple effect of removing this child care funding and what that's going to have on the labor shortage. Because what one of the organizers told me was that the number of the labor force participation rate is going to drop significantly, particularly for women.
We're going to get more into that. Folks, this is Town Call, joined by Dan Schaefer and you on the phone lines. We'll be right back.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 82. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 61. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. Low 80s Thursday and Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back. This is Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Tuesday by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. And Dan, we're talking childcare. A rally held at the Wisconsin State Capitol earlier today, encouraging and calling on state lawmakers to return the Child Care Counts program, the $340 million program, into the upcoming two-year budget. If you want to share your thoughts, 844-967-2789. But Dan, before the... So rudely cut you off with that commercial break. You're trying to get into one of the statistics shared at today's rally.
Yeah, I think one of the statistics that has been shared with me from some of the organizers was about the labor force participation rate and how that is impacted by childcare, particularly with women. The labor force participation rate goes from like 70% to 95%.
Yeah.
When there is available childcare. So when you're talking about labor force, talking about workforce shortages, like, we're not going to address that if we don't have childcare. It's just plain and simple. And you know, this is going to close facilities. This is going to increase rates. The wages are going to stay flat or decline. And all of that is going to create a ripple effect throughout the state that is going to cause all kinds of problems that frankly we're not ready for.
Yeah.
And
I think it was also notable how many people refer to moms there and not as many dads. And just the fact that it is, when push comes to shove for a family, it is the mothers that stand up and they step up and they're the ones that stay home and provide that care. And it's just something to note that this is something that affects all families, but it is, in a lot of regards, the mothers that are stepping up on the front lines of providing that care when it is demanded in a crunch like we're seeing, because this industry is not being invested in.
Yeah, and I think some of the organizers I've talked to have even said that they've gotten different responses from state legislators, whether it's a man or a woman making the request, contacting the legislator, sending the email, all those different kinds of things. It's, you know, there's obviously some sexism.
A little misogyny baked in, yeah. Folks, if you got a thought that you'd like to share with us here on Town Call, we want to hear it. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Up next, we got Tammy in Oshkosh. Tammy, what are your thoughts on the child care counts provision not being included in the upcoming two-year budget?
Ridiculous. First of all, I think that they are, I don't know what my words can say for them voting at it at 2:30 in the morning. They did not want to look at the child care profession in the face when they voted on it, and they just have no. I would like to invite each one of them into my program. I have an in-home child care center licensed by the state of Wisconsin, just started my 35th year in January, and I would like to invite each of them into my program for a whole week to see what we do, and then let them see if they want to take that money away. They looked at us when COVID started, wanted us all to stay open. I stayed open. I lost a bunch of money by staying open because I felt I needed to stay open for the families that needed me. And I just think they're a bunch of cowards for doing what they did.
Yeah, and I believe it's important to stress that during, in the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic, when there was still uncertainty of what the virus truly meant. There were a number of industries, restaurants too, where people were saying, stop, why are they closed? Why are these things closed? Why am I being mandated to wear a mask? Why do I need to show a vaccine passport? And it's the same people now that are saying, these same lawmakers are the ones saying, well, there's no assistance coming for you in this industry. And Tammy, mm-hmm. Do you believe that having more child care providers run for office could be something that addresses this? Or how do we get the institutional knowledge that you have as somebody with 35 years of experience in the child care industry? How do we get that experience better reflected in our state government then? What are your thoughts on that?
We could most certainly have people run, but most of us work 12-hour days for very little money, as it's been, you know, everybody has said. We're tired at the end of the day. That's probably one less thing that we want to do is go to another meeting. But, you know, if push came to shove, you know, I'd probably think about it, because it's just, they have to look at the child care workers, quote unquote, I don't like that word, we're professionals. Mm-hmm. Many of us, we do continuing education. I have an associate's degree. I have a bachelor's degree, both in early childhood education. Let's start looking at our profession the way it is. It's a profession. If child care wasn't around, nobody would be able to work. And I shouldn't say nobody, but probably 90%.
Yeah. Tammy, you said you're based in Oshkosh. Is that right?
Yep.
So what's the larger landscape for the childcare industry like in Oshkosh, in the Fox Valley right now? What are new parents looking at when they're, you know, trying to find childcare? What are providers like yourself looking at as well?
It's very dreary. My wait list is so long. I'm actually not even putting people on my wait list anymore because it is so long. Before, somebody had talked about families becoming pregnant. It might have been you. Becoming pregnant and looking for childcare the minute they got pregnant. I have families that are asking me when I have an opening so they can plan their pregnancy. They're not even pregnant yet.
Yeah, that is a drastic measure for a family to have to take for the childcare situation to be so dire that they are forgoing or at least looking at calendars and planning out when it is feasible for them because of how the shortage right now in childcare, Tammy. We only got a couple of minutes here before the end of the show, Tammy. If this is not included in a last attempt to get it back into the state budget, what is it going to mean for your facility if the childcare counts provisions do not get included in the next budget?
I won't close. I'm a lucky one. My husband has a good job. He supports my profession. But I will probably have to look at raising my rates, and I'm not. Hopefully, all of my families will stay with me. I think they will because there's no other place to go.
Yeah. So just having rates go up, costs go up, and the families then having to meet those rising costs without the investment from the state government.
Right. And I've worked really hard on relationships with my families. So I think they all would stay. They understand. They know what's going on. I keep them apprised. I know there's going to be centers that are closing, and my big concern is where are all those children going to go?
Yeah, that is a concern, and it's something that we're absolutely going to have to keep an eye on. Really appreciate your contribution to today's show, Tammy. Appreciate all of our callers and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. And Dan, we didn't even have time to recombobulate around shared revenue, but apparently that's going to be something for another day.
Another time. There's always another time for us to recombobulate.
Check out the Recombobulation Area on Substack. Subscribe. Become a paid subscriber. And follow both the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media, and all of our terrific radio stations on socials as well. Town Call will be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then. Oh, 12:15. Sorry, that's a weird habit to kick.
Ensure yourself a brighter future with help from insurance agent Stephanie Morales. Stephanie's passion is educating families on affordable, sufficient coverage, along with using your insurance for emergencies to major purchases while you're alive. Book a free insurance consultation with Stephanie Morales today at stephaniemorales.net or call 414-791-0124.
That's 414-791-0124. Call today to begin that brighter future. Stephanie Morales Insurance, creating a legacy.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.